Good morning. My name is Greg Hayes, and I am the senior consultant to the Senate's Energy Efficiency Select Committee on Energy Efficiency. I joined the legislature in January after coming from the clean tech sector, and it's been a fun experience in the legislature in spite of what many of my colleagues have told me. One of them told me recently, you know, Greg, how's this working out for you? And I said, I'm having a great time. And he said, oh, well, just give you a few more months. I can say, though, that getting the chance to work on this topic, I love. I think we have a room full of people who share that passion. We all see the advantages of energy efficiency. We all know the benefits. We all know that if you take a dollar and invest it in energy efficiency versus other energy systems, renewables, et cetera, your returns on greenhouse gas emission reductions, energy savings, and probably most important these days, job creation, is a 5 to 10x return over those others. And so the question is, why isn't more of it happening? We have 9 billion square feet of commercial space, for example, in the state of California with industrial, commercial, and multifamily, and a fraction of 1% of that has been retrofitted. So we're doing a good job with all of our new building standards, but perhaps you live in a county with an exception, but new buildings aren't exactly on fire at the moment, new building construction. So I have the privilege of being up here today with folks who are experts, and we hope to learn a little bit not only from them but from your questions. So I'll do a brief introduction. To my immediate right is Mary Tucker. She's been involved in energy efficiency, solar, and sustainability programs on the local, state, and national level for over 30 years. Obviously started as a very young lady. And she is the energy manager for the city of San Jose. And she's actually been here for more than 20 years, is that correct?
With the city?
Yes.
22
years. And she's going to have one of those great pensions you've been reading about. No, I'm just kidding. She actually has not paid an electricity bill on her home since 2003 because of her 2.6-kilowatt solar system. She apparently has some outstanding issues with the IRS, but I'm not supposed to talk about that this morning. Also, so just next to Mary is Janet Purchase. She's the energy manager for the county of Riverside. And Janet actually holds a BS in music. And let me get the name of this college right. Toccoa Falls?
Yes.
College. And she has a master's in public administration from California State University in San Bernardino. She also held energy management positions in higher education and municipal government, and perhaps with a little encouragement, a clarinet solo might follow. Liz Yeager is the energy and sustainability manager for the county of Sonoma, somewhat legendary in the retrofit and energy efficiency space. The county of Sonoma has one of the active PACE programs. And contrary to what you may have heard, they also have some workarounds and are doing some residential PACE, so you might want to ask her how they're doing that. And then she's been leading and tracking GHG emission reductions and sustainability programs for the county, and includes managing their innovative energy independence program and leading property assessed, well, the PACE program. And Liz is a former golf pro, and if I don't pick on her too much, I'm hoping for a lesson. So we're going to get started with Mary's presentation.
I have no PowerPoint. You have to listen to me. Look at me. Thank you. I do pay $4 a month for the joy of being connected to PG&E. So, yes. So there is that. But I do zero out at the end of the year. So... that's been a joy, and I just realized it's been, I had a payback on it of 7 or 8 years, you know, based on what I got, and I've made my 8 years, so now it's all free and clear. I am one of those bureaucrats that has a lot of energy, no inertia. As you heard our mayor, we have a green vision with very big goals, and the ones that I'm concentrating on are reducing energy use per capita by 50%, and that's throughout the entire community, and receiving 100% of our electricity from clean, renewable resources. So shoot for the moon. But it's really what it's really done is allowed us to be really creative and to look at a variety of different things. Within our energy program, I oversee our municipal work, making sure our own municipal facilities are as energy efficient as possible and getting solar on them. We're negotiating a 4-megawatt deal right now that's going to put 4 megawatts of solar on about 30 different city facilities and parking lots. And then our community programs. We have a Solar America City. We have a local government energy watch program partnership with PG&E. We have a Better Buildings program. We're very good at writing grants. We also have a program with the Department of Energy where we're looking at energy enduring emergency planning. Where's all that fuel and everything going to come from once the big one finally hits us here in California? But talking about the Energy Fund and plug for the local government sustainable state energy program. And I didn't see it out there on the table, but one of the fact sheets that they did do was on best practices, was on San Jose's Energy Fund. So I know you can download that off of their website. Our Energy Fund started because we wanted a continuity of funds. We couldn't just get, okay, here's $60,000, go do something with it. Okay, once that's spent, then what? I mean, we are not a municipal utility. We didn't have funds available for us to be able to, do a lot of projects. And prior to the stimulus funds and a lot of the EECBG, I mean, it was like, please, you want energy reductions, give me some money to do something. I can't save money if I don't spend some money. Because we had very little several years ago to be able to really go out and do some projects that saved money. And I had been talking with our budget office for over 2 years saying, look what several other cities are doing. They give their energy programs a boost of money, and then they allow them to take those savings and rebates and put them back in. So we become our own ESCO, our own revolving fund. And it didn't really kick in until 2005. When the city had done, our Department of Transportation did a complete retrofit of our traffic signals going to the LED, red, yellow, green, and we got a $3,000 rebate from PG&E for doing that. And I was right there at the budget office saying, look, see, money, and let's put it back into more projects. Let's get a person who's going to be concentrating their work on finding the high priority projects that need to be done, and thus generating more savings and more rebates so that it definitely becomes a revolving fund. So we got $200,000 of that $300,000 rebate to fund a dedicated person whose role was to get those savings. And if they don't get that savings, their job doesn't continue. We were given a small amount of money to start with, $60,000, so we started in on that. But then we also brought in, and we got a CDBG grant, Community Development Block Grant, to start some other things. And then the floodgates opened up with EECBG, as I'm sure many of you know. The city of San Jose got $8.8 million. It's like, whoa. But our council said, okay, we presented ideas to them on what to do with it. And they said, put half of it into programs to save money in our own city facilities. Do the audits, get the priority projects, work with Public Works, General Services, whatever the names of your department that oversees that would be, concentrate on that. And we are officially adopting a policy that first and second year savings and rebates all goes back into this fund to do more programs. The other $2 million went into programmable, dimmable LED streetlights that we're doing, and then the other $2 million into staff capacity to work on our solar projects, to do the RFPs and the negotiation for the PPAs, and that's what led us to where we are now with the 4 megawatts. This money is a huge boost, and this first year we've put back between right around $300,000 in first and second year savings back into our energy fund and having it available. It's based on estimates of the projects and what they're going to do, and then we'll be tracking the projects just to make sure we're at that same level. We've established some standard operating procedures on how this moves forward, how it all gets transferred, and when and where. We would have loved to be able to do it ongoing, like some cities have. They have a designated fund. You're going to get it no matter what. But we took what we can get at that point. With the standard operating procedures, it clarifies how we transfer the funds from the different departments, the process for identifying projects, and we've established a five-year payback on projects. So there's, we love forms, bureaucrats do love forms. There is the form about, I want this project, here's why I think it's, so the departments and public works can come in with that and say, this project, and I've done some initial analysis, it's gonna save 5 years, you know, come back in 5 years. Preferably 2 years, but we do have a cushion on that. Another important thing is that we've set up an interdepartmental energy team that meets monthly. And that's all the key departments, including our city manager's office, our budget office, public works, but the fire department, the library department, they're not, you know, the parks and rec department, those folks, those client departments that are getting our services. They're not as active in the whole process of doing the improvements, but we do work with them very closely. So those client departments are very, those interdepartmental meetings are very important for us to say, here's how things are going, we're working with you, we're going to be in these buildings in the next few months or weeks, what issues are you having, what kind of training do you need to know what we're putting in there with you, if we're going to do retrocommissioning within your building, we definitely don't want you touching the controls in a nice way, of course, saying that. Are there some new things, you know, that are coming up? You know, are we meeting the needs of your building, especially since you're now a cooling center or something? And so it's really looking at those temperature, you know, the set temperature controls and putting that together and understanding that certain buildings may have issues, you know, with what could be a standard temperature setting control. But because they are a cooling designated cooling center, they may have to be a little bit different. So some lessons learned, words of wisdom, caution in having set this up. Really establish, I mean, number one, you need some champions. If this is a policy that you need within your city, you need to identify either your department director, city manager, but then on the other side, if it's a policy that has to be established by your council, identify some champions, you know, within that and work with them. Saving all this energy stuff is making all of us looking really good right now. I mean, sustainability and climate change, you can link it to a variety of different things. But establish clear standards and guidelines. One of the things that, you know, was tough in the beginning was to, you know, tell the departments, oh, we're going to save you money on your energy bill. Your energy bill is going to go down. Oh, you don't get any of those savings. You can't buy more books or more other things right now because of that. It's all going to go back into the general fund or it's going to go into the energy fund. That's a hard lesson and a hard thing for them to hear, but it's really engaging them in the whole issue. And I think that's what the Green Vision has done. It's like, look, we've got these goals we need to meet. We're all working together on all of this. Communicate, communicate, communicate. Keep talking to everyone, you know, understanding what their needs are and what's going on within all of their projects and what's important to them. The HVAC system may be really important to the public works guy. They know it's dying or something else, but some of the lighting may be more important to the people that are actually there in the building on that. So work together on all of that. Understanding diminishing returns. Number one, you can't save money if you don't have the money. But as you start to do that, and of course many of us had the EECBG, which gave you that big, you know, mountain, but there's going to be diminishing returns that are going to happen along the way. In talking to many of my other partners and such as you, this has been real hard for smaller cities to start it because they don't have that big chunk of money to start to do that. Our original allocation was $60,000. We did what we could with it, but we understood that there were going to be diminishing returns and we needed to keep finding other monies on all of that. Policies can change, particularly in times of economic stress. So there are other priorities. With the establishment of our recent City of San Jose fiscal year 11-12 budget, our libraries and parks were going to be shut down to 3 days a week. And the council and the mayor didn't want that to happen, and so they started looking for money. And they found some in the energy fund. And so they took some from the energy fund. And, you know, that, you know, happened. So be real clear in your guidelines and standards. I mean, it's for the better good. We understand that and everything else, too. But we hope it was just a one-time project. Would I do this differently? Probably. I would have loved to have a delineated, dedicated percentage cost allocation that goes to energy projects and energy staff. Los Angeles County, and I'm sure there's many others that already have that. It's a policy. You're going to do it. It's going to be funded by general fund. I would have loved to be able to have that. I couldn't do that. I worked with what we had and the policy and the direction we were given. We're now looking at ESCOs ourselves. I mean, we have the PPAs where we're getting the savings and purchasing power and everything else. But we're looking at it a little bit differently. We're actually looking at it on a regional level. We operate for the utilities the Silicon Valley Energy Watch, which is housed within the city of San Jose, administered by us, but it serves all of the cities and the county of Santa Clara County. So we've got, you know, a lot of people we've been working with and some folks and that we've provided savings to their own municipal facilities. We're working through our partnership on the residential and the small business sector. But the we've been getting together and talking about, well, and Santa Clara County also did an aggregate solar purchase together, where they all came together and several of the cities did the solar. Now we're talking about doing that possibly on an ESCO basis. Is there a possibility for us to come together and do some purchasing together, you know, on some specific municipal buildings? So I'll talk to you next year about how that worked. We think there's some possibilities to really put that together on a larger basis. But I look forward to your questions and everything on this. Take questions at the end?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
So just to clarify, I didn't say this up front, we're going, if you could hold your questions till after all three presentations, so that way we can let them get to their points. So we'll try to allow as much time as possible for that.
I'm Janet Purchase. That's as in no purchase necessary, free gift with purchase. Very few of which I ever get. I'm from Riverside County, which some would have become South California. So I come from an interesting place. I'm here to talk to you today about something where I feel like I'm the new kid on the block with our energy fund that we just established last year. A little bit about the county. We have quite a large population. We're the 11th largest county in the country in population. We've been the third fastest growing county over the last decade. We are the sixth largest county in landmass, and we have 27 cities. We also have two COGs, Western Riverside Council of Governments and the Coachella Valley Association of Governments. We have five supervisors and supervisory districts. And here's our challenge in energy efficiency within the county. We have 450 owned buildings comprising 9 million square feet and 250 leased facilities comprising 3 million square feet. So that's 12 million square feet of energy efficiency opportunities. So here are the challenges. I took over 3 years ago with the county, and I am the only energy person. We in the county have 40 different utility service providers across our territory. Shortly after I started, welcome to my world. When I first started, the energy function was part of facilities management. About a year after I started, facilities management merged with the Economic Development Agency, which in many cases has provided some good synergies, but it threw the whole project arena into a bit of an upheaval that it took us a while to get our arms around. The other main two challenges that I faced was the existing energy efficiency program and, of course, declining budgets. When I started, I had the impression that we had a solid energy efficiency program. It was really more like this. Quite the house of cards. And of course, it wasn't long before the cards started falling due to catastrophic equipment failure. Projects that were not feasible at all. Or projects that were experimental and very ill-conceived. It says, this is a new design to save water. You can't see that. So as the projects were falling apart, also the budgets were going away. The traditional funding mechanism with the county for funding energy projects was deferred maintenance. Deferred maintenance also covered regular deferred maintenance, emergency deferred maintenance, ADA, and underground storage tanks. And so it's declined from $3.4 million to this year, $678,000. Last year, out of the $1 million, only one project had an energy component, and it was $75,000. So the assets, it's not all bad. The three main assets that we had going for us was our partnership with Southern California Edison and the gas company, our capital projects program, we actually still have one, and then our fledgling solar program. We have an institutional partnership that focuses mainly on county facilities, and so we have, you know, a program manager for energy efficiency, we have a billing manager, we have a new construction manager within the IOUs. So when I would attend the partnership meeting, it would be me and 7 to 8 other people, which is a really good thing when you're the only person, because who do you delegate to? And it became really apparent that these people were going to be very important in my life because the SS energy efficiency ship was sinking. So I needed deckhands to rearrange the chairs with me. And so within the partnership, one of the things that we were able to do well was our capital program. The county passed a sustainable building policy where all our new construction must be at least LEED certified. And so in conjunction with that, we enrolled as many of our new construction facilities in the Savings by Design program, where we strive for that in the design process. And of course, there are incentives associated with that. So over the last 3 years, we've enrolled about 27 facilities. The flagship of which was our Palm Desert Sheriff Station, and that opened last fall. This facility is LEED Gold. We achieved a 34.5% savings above Title 24. It has a 56 kW solar system on the roof, and the incentive was going to be $168,000. So when we became aware of this number, which was wonderful, how do we keep that? Along with this, we were starting to see more solar. Because of the sustainable building policy, we were focusing on new construction, also including solar. So last year, we installed 2 solar systems on new facilities. With the ECBG, we're going to do 3 retrofits. And then all the remaining systems will have 5 new this year on new construction. And we have 5 systems in design on new construction. So in terms of new construction, we're able to do solar much more efficiently. So the goal is to take what we were doing well and try to use it to fund energy efficiency. Here's our big check presentation at the Palm Desert Solar Sheriff Station. One is the energy efficiency savings by design retrofit, and the other represents the solar rebate over 5 years from the CSI program. So when I became aware of the size of the Palm Desert rebate check. I went to our management and said, we need to find a way to keep this in-house. We have too many other things we need to do. And fortunately, they were very amenable to it. Oh, yeah, we need to keep that money. So the first step, we modified our existing energy policy. We thought this would help keep things under the radar instead of having a standalone policy just for this. It's a little strategy. And then our EDA management negotiated with our executive office, who is the head. We promised savings was never an issue. We promised that the savings would go to the general fund and that we would put it in an interest-bearing account. They wanted the interest from it. But all rebates and incentives that we get in the future will go to this fund. When we went to the board, we used the argument that we pay for energy efficiency whether we do it or not. And so we pay through, we pay for public good charge on all our bills. If we don't do energy efficiency, we don't get some of that back. And then we pay for energy efficiency because we have rate increases. And believe me, tracking the rate increases across 40 companies is quite the challenge. So I had some lovely data to show how much we're increasing our bills just as they are. So fortunately, August 10th, 2010, I saved the board agenda because it was a cool day. It was approved without comment, wasn't pulled. It was great. And we had the fund established before the check came, which I think was really important. So the policy. Basically, it defines the types of rebates incentives that are included. And it identifies our agency as the lead agency for the rebate incentive process for the application, et cetera, so that we're making sure that they're being applied for and the process is followed through. Requires that all the checks be deposited into what they call the Energy Conservation Fund. There are some exceptions. I'll get to that. And it also identifies our agency as the lead agency for identifying and selecting the projects to be performed, which gives us some nice control, which is good because we have facilities management. We also have a project management office. So in general, most of the projects that get done in the county tend to run through us anyway. So here's the exceptions. We will allow the checks not to go into the fund if those funds are needed for matching or leverage funds, say for grants. If the rebate or incentive is needed to cover project costs. If the rebate or incentive reduces the direct purchase price of a piece of equipment, say you're getting nozzles for irrigation or something like that. And then the final thing is if the rebate or incentive is needed to achieve a higher level of efficiency than could be achieved without it. This rendering of the building here is our little tiny Blythe IT service station. Blythe is on the border of Arizona and California. It is very, very hot. And this is going to be our first net zero building. We're starting small. And what we did through the design, we were able to site the building and the roof to take advantage of the sun, but they didn't have quite enough money to pay for the solar system on it that would make it a net zero building. So they are getting to keep the rebate from the solar, the one-time CSA rebate, so that we can have our first net zero building. So that's an example. So the sources of funds that we've had already, we've had five new construction incentive checks. We have four more coming. We are getting monthly solar rebates now for 5 years from one system. There's another system that will come online this year that will add to that 5 year. We get one-time solar rebates from CSI. And then the gas company in Edison gave us money for doing this as part of our strategic plan element. So that went into the fund. And right now, since August, our current fund balance is $200,1152. And the nice thing is I just got some emails today. We got two more checks. So actually, that's already out of date, which is kind of nice. So we got a $15,000 CSI rebate and a $4,000 monthly solar check. So now we're close to $230,000. And right now we're scheduled to receive about $960,000 would be nice. So here's our lessons learned. One thing we learned right away is to carefully choose the account code where the funds get deposited. In our revenue accounts, we have a little code that says departmental funds and non-departmental funds. And a non-departmental funds is where the executive office goes trolling. So when we first set up the fund, trolling for funds, that's what I call it, you know. And so having it set to that non-departmental fund code meant, oh, this isn't attributable to any department. And they started to grab. And so we quickly said, oh, no, this is part of the new policy. And we changed the code really quick. So now it says everything's been moved to a departmental fund so it doesn't show up like a flashing beacon. The other thing that was important was communicating with our accounting staff about the checks that were expected and where they should go. We have quite a really good accounting staff in facilities and EDA. So I provide them with lists of the checks that are anticipated and say, if you're in doubt, call me. And so I get emails, I get calls, I get all the utility checks now, whether they're for this or not. But that way we make sure, okay, this goes here. Or if there's an exception, like when this Blythe solar rebate comes in, it's like, oh, no, that's going to go back to the project because they get to keep their rebate. So I'm kind of the center point of where these come. And the other thing we learned is to communicate the plans for the funds as soon as possible, whether you really are going to do it or not, just so you can say. Now, our plan right now is we're going to do our first retrocommissioning process with these funds. We also made fund some electric vehicle charging stations. But the bulk of it is going to go to retrocommissioning, which the county has never done. So it was important because every time somebody finds those funds, what are you doing with it? So at least we can say, oh, we're doing this. Oh, let me go back. Okay. So don't underestimate small beginnings because I had a lot to overcome. And we had one big check, but the checks that have come after have not been so big. And so I've learned that every drop counts and adds up. These are the actual check amounts that we've received after the big $168,000 check. None of them is over $6,600 until the $15,000 yesterday. And it's amazing how once you get this going, at least in our case, it's starting to add up. So now we have monthly checks coming in from solar. We're going to add to that. And we have more buildings that are enrolled in Savings by Design. We still have some capital projects going, and some of those are going to have larger solar systems. So for us, it's worked to take our strengths, which was the capital program and beginning of the solar system process, and fund these accounts with it. And so my hope is that as all these drops build up, we'll eventually have a waterfall. And there's my contact information. I also brought with me a copy of our policy and our board report to the board. I have it on a flash drive, so if anybody's interested, I can give that to you, or if you want to give me your card, I can email it to you. Thank you.
I feel like I'm back in my IT days here. Well, hi, everybody. I'm Liz Yeager from the County of Sonoma, and it's great to be here with my colleagues. I am always energized to be around all the energy peeps in California. It really feels good, and it's great to hear about the financing that you all are doing locally. When I came to government, I actually used to work for Hewlett-Packard right here in Palo Alto, and we had this big budget, and we had an R&D budget, and we had all these budgets, and now being in government, it's a new thing for me to get used to. So I'm encouraged to hear about the revolving funds. What I'm going to talk about is very different than that. I'm going to be talking about the Sonoma County Energy Independence Program, which is a PACE program, and our relationship with Energy Upgrade California. So this is really a very customer, consumer-based program. Same problem, though. People that want to do work that don't have access to funds. I'll take you through what we have been doing in Sonoma County. We started our program, AB 811 was passed almost 3 years ago now, September of 2008. And in March 2009, we opened the Sonoma County Energy Independence Program office with the vision of that being the one-stop shop for residents in Sonoma County, all market sectors, to do energy efficiency projects, renewable generation projects, and water conservation projects. And it's fairly unique in Sonoma County in that although there was Berkeley First and Palm Desert had PACE programs prior to us. They were solar only. Ours included all these different kinds of efficiency projects and also was countywide. All nine cities and the county, everybody in the county can participate
in this program. The underpinning piece of that is probably going on in some of the other rooms right now. We were really fortunate in Sonoma County to have a common community goal. In Sonoma County, we had a climate action plan for the community to decrease our greenhouse gas emissions by 25% below 1990 levels by 2015. Feels like that's about tomorrow. But that really gave us the foundation that we need for a successful program in Sonoma County. At this point, like you know, every day the slide needs to be updated. I can't wait until this is like web-based, interactive. Just go to the website and it does the presentation for me. But we've done over 1,500 projects in Sonoma County. I'll give you more details. I'll flip by those fairly quickly. And we have dispersed over $48 million in Sonoma County for these projects. The funding of how we were fortunate to get this started in Sonoma County, we were actually able to access 3% of the county treasury. So we started this program without federal funds, without state funds, $45 million from the state from the county treasury, and we have access to up to $55 million from the Sonoma County Water Agency Reserve Fund. So again, this is not general fund dollars that we have access to provide this financing. The financing is provided at 7% simple interest to commercial and non-and residential property owners at 7% simple interest, paid back through the property tax system over 10 or 20 years, depending on what the property owner chooses for their investment. We have over 85 eligible improvements to property owners who want to use the financing, and we're working under the one-stop shop approach. So this one-stop shop approach, you'll hear this time and time again in the Energy Upgrade California whole house, and what we are working in Sonoma County to actually represent the whole building, the whole building approach. When people come in the door, they've got a lot of different motivations, and what our goal is not just to provide the financing piece, and actually part of the Energy Upgrade California model is to help people get the information they need, the research, the energy analysis, the commercial grade audits, whatever they need to make a responsible selection of their projects, to actually have qualified contractors to help them understand that information and make the right choices when they do their projects, and then actually to provide an access to things like our Sonoma County Energy Watch program for the non-residential customers in Sonoma County, but all the rebates, all the great rip your grass out rebate in the city of Santa Rosa, all the rebates for all the upgrades that are available through our local utility, and consolidate that into their entire project and provide the financing for them. And our hope eventually, and again working with Energy Upgrade California and the web tools and whatnot, to provide a dashboard. You can't change something you can't measure. If we actually had a way to centrally locate all the work that people in Sonoma County are doing and represent that and feed that back to the community, I think that would help all of us in local government and the public to feel good about what we're doing and actually reap the rewards and see what we're doing. Some highlights to show you the residential and commercial market. Our program right now is mainly residential, and I think it's still probably safe to say we're the leading residential program in the entire nation. There are more commercial projects happening, programs launching in other places. In the United States, there are 27 other states that have PACE-enabling legislation that are available. We were suspended for 1 week. It just pains me. You can't believe how much it pains me when people say, oh, PACE is dead. No, not dead yet. We were suspended for 1 week from July 7th to July 13th. But again, I think because of that community goal that in the county, the Board of Supervisors said, well, I won't say it. Forget them. We're going to keep our program open. The room was filled with contractors keep this program going. It's a huge part of who we are and what we're doing. And you can see the labor statistics down here on the bottom of the page. If you apply the ARRA formula to the $48 million we've dispersed, that's over 500 jobs through the life cycle of those products. Excuse me. And just on the installation piece alone, that's 60 job years of local contractor labor, and those dollars are recirculating in the community. They're a huge part of who we are and what our success is, working with the contractors. the projects. If you look at the kind of the profile of what we're doing, you can see we've installed over 5.5 megawatts of solar in Sonoma County through the PACE financing. Over 60% of our applications include a solar component in the projects. We expect this graph to change dramatically now with Energy Upgrade California, and we now, as of July 1st, actually have a 10% energy efficiency requirement prior to or as part of a solar or renewable generation project. So we'll be seeing some of those really critical energy efficiency pillars start to spike up. Our second runner in the running here is windows and doors, as far as the favorite retrofits of people in Sonoma County. To build a program, if you have a chance, I don't know what all of your local communities are, if you have the opportunity to start with commercial and build the foundation that you're going to need for residential, I can't really reinforce strong enough to be successful and to flourish. It's having the community shared goals. If you haven't done a climate action plan, to actually start that process and collaborate with those organizations in your community doing that. To start and think about your short-term and your long-term financing plan. We are still bonding internally with our treasury funds and working towards our external bonding. That's the sustainability plan for a successful PACE. We've dispersed $48 million. We need to bond that out for long-term investors, replenish our kettle of money, and refinance again and again and create that revolving fund for the consumers. The collaboration and, you know, the list is just incredibly long for all the people that we need to work with closely. The construction community, I just can't say enough about how important the relationship with them is, because they are the educators. They're not necessarily completely happy about this market transformation in how it's changing their interaction with the public. They're used to just going in and getting the work done. Now they're the people out there that are teaching people about energy efficiency. They're becoming the trainers and the educators. It's kind of hard for them, but with everybody helping and supporting them, the tools of Energy Upgrade and all the local government activity is really going to be a very synergistic, really, really helpful thing. But having an advisory board in your community is something I would highly recommend. Challenges: getting the word out. First of all, you know, we're not dead. That's a really important message. Getting the message out about energy efficiency is really the other piece too. And we are taking an approach locally with our Skype office and program, and as part of Energy Upgrade California, to actually have the stories. What makes you change your mind? I should eat this, or I should do that. I've got all the data. But it's not until we emotionally are motivated do we really tend to make a change. That's just human nature. So if we can actually have those testimonials and stories, that's really what we're looking for to help the public understand, why should I make this a priority in my life right now? For our non-residential customers, having some more robust energy evaluation protocol is really going to be helpful. I'm a HERS rater myself. And have taken BPI certification. I've passed 3 of the 4 tests. Darn it, I messed up on the HVAC one. But to actually start to have those standards has been really important for the residential market, and actually building those in the commercial, the loading order and the 10%. How do you get there? What does that look like? In Sonoma County, we have farms, we have wineries, we have Joe's Motorcycle Shop and Medtronics. Just how do you compare all of those different kinds of venues for energy efficiency? Talking to bankers and lenders about PACE financing, really important. PACE financing is a property assessment. Property assessments are a first priority lien. In the state of California, if there is a default, what has to be cured is the amount of property taxes that hasn't been paid, not the entire assessment. So the risk to the mortgage holder is not the $20,000 lien for the solar array. It's, let's see, $20,000 over 20 years, their back taxes, 6 months. I don't know, what is that, $750? That's a big difference than if we were actually were a loan. But the other thing is, if you ask me a question and you use the word loan in it, I probably won't answer you. This is an assessment, and that's really a huge, it's nitpicking maybe, but semantics are really important in our litigation and in our legislation, to use the right word. It's not a loan. It's an assessment, and that's an important piece of it in helping the lenders and the banks understand that. The good news, Energy Upgrade California has been very helpful in actually helping, propagate this model, the one-stop shop, and Sonoma County is actually the residential PACE pilot. So we are tasked with, and the funding is helping us provide a replication kit for hopefully all of you to start a PACE program in your community, and helping us with that bonding activity that we need, that hurdle that we need to get over. Replication opportunities, there's a map of the United States and all the potential places for PACE in the nation. The Northeast is very aggressive as well, and there are all these communities here in Sonoma in the state of California that are looking to launch probably commercial first. We're very fortunate in Sonoma County to have neighbors close to us. Right now, Marin County is very interested in us helping them administer their PACE program in Marin County. The other news is H.R. 2599, the PACE Assessment Protection Act of 2011, is out there now. If you're not familiar with that legislation, I would encourage you to look at PACE Now is a great website to stay up to date, or the Skype website in Sonoma County to actually get the information. We are very, very optimistically, a little bit cautious, but I'm very optimistic about this. And the doors will just blow off, I think, when we actually get this resolved, either through the litigation or the legislation, to get the work done. There's plenty to do. And PACE may not be right for everybody, but this is a great option for a lot of people to get their work done in their business and their home. Thank you.
I've determined that Liz should give every last presentation of the day in case any of you are falling asleep. You can rest assured that won't happen with her at the podium. I also wanted to comment on something that Mary said earlier about how they rolled the savings into identifying a person on staff who then was responsible for going out and leveraging further opportunities, and at the threat of losing their job, which I will say from, sort of my private sector lens, I wrote down immediately a savings development officer. Most companies have business development officers. Energy savings is revenue, and savings development officers, every city and county, if you could fund that opportunity through the work that the person does, having one of those persons on staff would be extremely helpful. And I can assure you, speaking to those in the capital markets, the dollars are there. The capital markets are desperate for finding a place to link capital with sort of real estate or mortgage-backed securities. And so if you can get this to pencil, there are billions in capital to leverage for these types of opportunities. I would be remiss briefly before I turn it over to questions if I didn't share a couple of things about my boss, Senator Kevin DeLeon, who represents downtown and East Los Angeles. Energy efficiency is of key interest to him because of the tens of millions of square feet of commercial space he represents. And in fact, last Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, he held key stakeholder meetings around California in four different cities with 25 energy efficiency stakeholders to talk about ways we can get that private capital into the game. And in fact, he has a bill, SB 343, which the intent is not in the language because it's being negotiated with the administration and the treasurer's office, but what it would do is it would set up through CAITFA at the treasurer's office additional financing that could be leveraged for commercial retrofit activity. And CAITFA has pretty broad funding authority. It's an energy efficiency and finance, or energy and finance, and transportation finance authority. It's a 7 or 8 letter acronym that I'm not going to be able to get exactly right, but the intent of this legislation is to make funds available and potentially even make funds available to local governments to use at their discretion. So that's one of the things that we're working on. And that bill is actually part of what's called the Public Goods Charge Reauthorization Package. There are four bills in that package. So I can speak to you at break about that if you'd like. So we have the advantage of these three experts who've been successful in this area. So I want to turn it over to questions. We'll start here in the front. And I'm going to interrupt briefly. To the extent that your question is a statement, especially a rambling statement, I'm going to cut you off. So let's keep to questions.
And Greg, you have to repeat the questions, too.
Oh, yes.
Help you out.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I'll repeat them, yes. And it's a great question. It's how are you paying for the administration of the PACE program? That's an exceptional question, yeah.
To launch the – it's interesting because you think of the property tax system as far as a business model, you bill annually. Wow, that's a tough business model. And we opened our doors in March, and our first billing cycle, of course, wasn't until September with our first income coming in December. So the program actually started with $1 million line of credit from the tobacco fund money. And so we did draw down on that line of credit. And then as soon as we were, you know, placed assessments and started assessment revenue, we actually operate on the 4% margin. So our plan is of our warehouse of funds, we were planning before the FHFA came on the scene that we would, for every year of assessments, we would hold those and gain the 4% for at least 1 year. And then when we went out to the long-term bond market, they would take the 6%, and we have to pay back the Treasury 3%. So that's where the 4% margin comes from. So we would take those out to the long-term financing market and give them the 6% and still retain 1%. So we would always be building 1% every year as we went out and bonded and carrying the 4-year for that year's current year's year of bonds. Now, we're still holding all $48 million at the 4% in-house at this point. So we haven't even actually gone down to that reduced amount.
So the short answer is have a creative banker on hand. I think that's the short answer because those are all exceptional ways to do this. But if you don't have a creative finance person who can pursue those, that becomes a challenge. So I'm going to go to the back and we'll ping back and forth. Anybody in the back with a question? All right, go ahead. So the question was to clarify the numbers, $48 million in costs, $100 million in savings. Correct.
So I think from the slides, you saw that we've distributed $48 million in disbursements and that we've calculated out that that's a $1 million a year savings in electricity. Most of that actually is from the solar, a conservative estimate from what the solar is generating and what the solar is saving. We found it very challenging to get reliable data from the utility. We've asked for waivers of pre and post project utility usage data to try to do a utility usage year over year subtraction. Of course, that the behavioral component is a problem in that inherently, but we don't necessarily have reliable data to actually do the calculations on the energy efficiency work. Going forward with Energy Upgrade California and using EnergyPro software and the participating contractors will be able to use the modeling software to actually give us more energy efficiency data that we can add to the solar numbers.
And as everybody in here is probably aware, data is an ongoing problem. And in defense of the utilities, you know that sharing that data has all sorts of privacy concerns for them. So there are also efforts underway at the state level to work on creating data banks that can sort of save the utilities from getting into the privacy concerns, but also provide the data necessary, not just to local governments, et cetera, to make assessments, but also the financial institutions require this in order to calculate how they're going to finance. So, you said $48 million. You said $1 million a year in payback. Did you mean something greater than that? You're looking at me funny. You said you have had $48 million in disbursements, and that has achieved $1 million a year in savings.
In the utility bill numbers, yeah.
All right.
You got a point. I'll have to look at that.
Okay. That confused me, but I thought maybe it was a factor of zero, a 10 off. Go ahead. The question is, and I'm curious about this as well, how did they get around the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac concerns about PACE residential?
So before the letters came out last July, we were actually the program volume was about $2.5 million a month as far as people participating in the program. After the letter came out, we suspended the program for the week. The Board of Supervisors said, go ahead, with a lot of disclosure. So it's almost scary. actually when you go through the application project, but there actually are enough people that either own their home outright, their home, their mortgage is so high, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are not in the game for their mortgage. For commercial, it's not a problem. So there are enough people in there, and then there are people in Sonoma County that just, oh, you guys will figure that out. But there are a lot of disclosures that they have to sign, they have to acknowledge, and repeatedly through the project, we make sure they're aware of the letters and what the possible impacts on them could be. What we're seeing as far as the actual impact is, if I may, because I'm anticipating this question because it's very common, is that at the time of sale or at a transfer of ownership or refinancing, the assessments in most cases, not all, are having to be paid off. So that the assessment is not actually transferring as AB 811 is designed. What we're finding is interesting, though, is that the actual amount of the assessment is actually, we're seeing an increase in the property value that's commensurate with that improvement. So now the market value of the home is higher, which allows in this transaction for the property owner to pay off the assessment. The market value is higher on the property now, so the county is actually getting higher property tax revenue. Good for us. And also the new buyer, or as a consequence of the refinancing, that improvement being rolled in is that the property owner is now paying for that improvement at probably 4.5% or 5% instead of 7%. Over the next 20 or 30 years. So it wasn't the intention that we become a bridge financing program, but it's actually kind of working out in those situations for everybody.
In the back there.
The question is there some documentation about the recovery, the market value of the recovery of that, and that actually some of the we're trying to keep that data. We're not necessarily informed of it. There's so much data to try to follow, right? And to provide to the federal government, the legislature, and everybody. So we actually are some of the PACE Now and some other nonprofit organizations are actually helping collect that information nationally from Sonoma County and other counties, because that is a very important piece of it.
Question for Mary.
Did everybody hear that? Margaret's pretty good at getting her voice heard.
We were actually on the path to establish a PACE program when the FHA, Fannie, Freddie came in and stepped and looked at it, and so have held off. We are definitely following the legislation on the federal level and what would happen with that. That is something that we would probably start to go down and look. One of the constraints, however, that we have is we had some existing within our finance department, the kind of folks that need to look at this within our finance department and our attorney and legal office, our staff have been severely cut. So, starting to be able to look at that, it may take a lot longer than we had originally hoped. But we do want to keep looking at that.
Riverside County, actually, the Western Regional Government, the WRCOC, will be launching their PACE program next month, a couple days. And what we're looking at is for the rest of the county taking over a PACE program that would cover everything else. So we're actually in discussions now with a group of companies, and we're hoping to have a decision on a direction before the end of the year.
If I could ask a question of the audience, turn it around. First of all, how many of you are local governments? For your own municipal facilities, how many of you are financing your improvements with general fund money?
Wow.
How many of you are funding it with the stimulus, the ECBG funds? Okay. How many of you are using CEC grant loans? Okay. How many of you are using ESCOs? Any other financing I missed?
On-bill financing.
How many of you are getting any of those savings and rebates returned to any kind of a fund? Several of you. So, I mean, that's the issue. Don't just pay one time. You know, recover those. And I wish PACE could be done for the municipal sector in some way, too. I mean, that would be an interesting thing to have done. So thank you for indulging me on that.
The question is, sorry. The question is, how do you deal with an intransigent, uncooperative council and city manager? I'm sure they're lovely people, despite them being lovely people. Clarification.
Would love to have you invite me. I don't know where you're from, but as long as it's near a beach, that would be great. No, but. That's fine. No, we'd love to share the story, and that's why we did one of the best practices and everything else. So it took me 2 years to get that set up, but, you know, I couldn't point to that many cities that were already doing that. That's changed since then. So I think you can now point to a lot more people that are doing it and for which it's been a success. So I don't think it would take as long, you know, for some others as it has for us.
And I'd like to partially answer that question and then ask a quick question myself. And that is, Liz pointed out the act, how important the business community was to sustain what they're doing. And so I think there's some insight there, frankly. And then I have a question for the panel. What we have discovered is that there is a significant demand problem with energy efficiency. In the MUSH space, there are all sorts of advantages that you don't have out with just simply the private sector, commercial property owners, and residential folks. Energy efficiency is complicated. It's not as sexy as parking a Prius in your driveway and showing off to your neighbors that you're green, right? It's a lot of things you can't see. And because it's complicated, the barriers to considering it, especially in challenged economic times, are significant. So how do you stimulate demand or overcome that problem?
You work closely with your utilities. It creates, I mean, their savings. You show the savings, and you show that it creates local jobs, too. I think that's one of the things that we found in working with our economic development office. I mean, we work not as closely as you are, but we work very closely with them on an economic development issues, and we're also trying to bring as many of those companies to our city. You know?
Well, let me add to the question. So you're a commercial property owner or a resident. Yeah, you have your own property. And you're looking at all the bills you have to pay. You're looking at a half-filled building. And somebody's telling you, you know, if you just put more money into your building, it would be great. And people are looking at you like you fell out of a tree. So that is, you know, I'm talking just a person unfortunately can't look beyond their own dinner table to be happy that jobs might be created, frankly. It's unfortunate, but that's the challenge times we're in. So that's what I'm talking about, is that stressed person. How do you get to them, property owner, resident, and encourage them to do this? So
I think that's what Energy Upgrade California is trying to do, and look at all their marketing.
Yeah, so I think it goes back to what we're finding is it goes back to the testimonials, the stories that I was talking about earlier. So many people that actually do a comprehensive retrofit on their home didn't even realize how uncomfortable they were in their own home. And a lot of times, in this might be actually the case in a number of until we get the data, but, you know, some people might actually have a stable gas bill. They may not see an actual decrease in their gas bill, but they're not running around in Polar Tech in their house all the time now. So the actual comfort in that whole story, and then the, wow, you know, that funky smell seems to be gone from the house because they're not sucking up that nasty crawl space air into their house anymore.
and their kids.
Well, I actually asked my brother-in-law to move out.
But, so yeah, that, and that works too. That helps a lot. But that, you know, the working with the Asthma Coalition, and you know, the schools and all the kids that run around with inhalers these days, you know, to be able to actually talk to people about the health of their kids is really, I mean, what else would motivate somebody more than the health of their kids?
That's a great point. Janet, do you want to add to that?
We're getting ready to launch a program called Green Quest, and we're using our EECBG funds to do this. This is a personal home energy efficiency website that's free, and it will track for a single building, electric, water, and gas usage. It also shows you how much you're spending per square foot. It'll translate your usage into greenhouse gas emissions, and it lets you put your projects in so that as you do things, you can see all the graphs go down, and it gives you lots of good information. It's fairly simple. So we're in the process of developing our marketing plan for that because we're doing this in partnership with Riverside Public Utilities and the county. And so it's going to be free to all county residents, businesses, and even if you have more than one building for your business, you can just set up a different account. So that's one way we're looking to kind of get it in people's hands because they can't, I think if you could get to a business owner and say, okay, look what your cost per square foot is on your utilities. And then, you know, use an example. Actually, right now we're using me as an example because I beta tested the program, so I put my home information in it. And I did HVAC retrofits, some attic insulation, solar attic fans, and south-facing windows, and I reduced my usage in half. And that's without even solar. But I also reduced my cost per square foot. It was $3.62 a square foot, and now I'm running, really bad. I'm in Edison territory, and it's an old house. My cost per square foot right now is about $1.70.
That's great. Great question. It's San Jose, Riverside, very large entities. How do you do this in smaller entities, and would some of these situations work for your entity or smaller?
Not from what I've heard. I know, who is it? Maria Sanders right now is in the other, in El Cerrito, and they looked at it. I don't know if anyone is here from El Cerrito, but I think they looked at it and didn't start it up just because of that issue. You know, it's very difficult for smaller cities. But if you have, you know, some sort of a person already, at least get the rebates in there, you know. You don't have to have the person fund, if you don't have to have a person funded by that fund, at least set up a fund where the rebates and if at all possible the savings can go in to do that. Because I don't know how you're funded.
I'm funded from general fund.
Not funded from these programs.
No, I'm not funded from the programs. The other thing, that's why I said, you know, every little drop counts. You may only get small rebate checks in there, but if you can hold that, maybe you can buy down the cost of another project that may actually generate a greater rebate. Sometimes just having a little pot there may help. I know it's hard with smaller cities, et cetera, because you just don't, you know, cities are cutting left and right, and where are you getting money to do the projects that's going to generate the rebate or incentive? So, I would just encourage you to keep at it. I started work on this in 2008, signing up all these things, and, you know, as of September is when I finally saw, you know, almost 3 years later, this starting to roll in. So, you know, there is a deferred gratification element to it, but, you know, if you try to identify every little opportunity you can now, it may pay for itself down the road. You know, if I walked out of the building today and left the county, there would be funds coming in 3 to 5 years after I left. So, but it took 3 years for this to start, you know, accumulating. So, you know, but hang in there.
At my heart, I'm an organizer, long time organizer from way back. And to what extent can you get together with the other cities in your county and really start to look at this on a regional basis? And, you know, aggregation, group purchasing works. Is there a way to do that together, you know, so that it, I mean, we all have, you know, JPAs or something, you know, we're not each of us running individually wastewater treatment plants. You know, that's usually done on a collaborative basis. So how can we do that with our own municipal energy activities and make that happen?
That's a great question. So we probably have time, looking at the time, for one more question. So the question is, have they directly quantified the jobs benefits, other than just formulaically?
The Economic Development Board did a study the prior year before the FHFA letter came out, and they're actually the employment for the construction industry in Sonoma County was actually flat compared to the continuing decline in all of our neighboring counties. So there was actually about a 12% uptick, you know, relative to what was going on around us. Other than that, the 60 job years that we reported, we actually used something called RS Means, which is an industry standard calculator for estimating of projects. And we basically, because the trades are not necessarily willing to tell us how many folks they're putting on the job, we actually did a reverse engineering of, you know, using project estimation to deconstruct that to come up with and it's very conservative as far as the number of job years of the actual labor.
All right, we do have probably time for one more question, since that was such a succinct answer.
Thank you.
We're good?
No more questions.
It looks like a hungry group ready for lunch.
Yay.
Well, thank you, everybody, for taking the time today, and look forward to seeing you around.
If anybody would like a Skype residential brochure to kind of show the co-branding that we're using in Sonoma County for energy upgrade, they're up here. You're welcome to them.